I'm Dave Drexler with Inside Art. Acorn Publishing has just released the debut novel by the San Diego-based television and writing team of Anthony Lee and Christina Adams, writing under the nom de plume A.C. Adams. Their fast-paced mystery and suspense novel Chasing Shadows is based on actual events related to the sudden disappearance and search for Christina's father, ultimately revealing the secret lives and pasts of both of her parents. Kirkus Reviews calls Chasing Shadows a hair-raising roller coaster ride that may leave readers questioning their own personal narratives, where secrets and lies collide in this sinisterly effective thriller. Anthony and Christina Adams will be holding a talk and book signing as part of Warwick's Weekends with Locals, Sunday, May 11th from 1 to 3 p.m. at Warwick's Books in La Jolla. And Christina and Anthony, it's a pleasure to welcome you both to Inside Art.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
Pleasure to be here.
Well, Christina, I'd like to start with you since this story revolves around actual events that happened to you and your family here.
Yeah.
And what happened? Because this was really a traumatic event for yourself and others in the family.
It really was. My father was a very well-respected professor at USD, University of San Diego. And so I grew up idolizing him. I would go sit in his classes and listened to him lecture. He spoke multiple languages. He was very brilliant. And I thought he was like the sun and the moon rose around him. And then when I was in my early 20s, he left. He left the family. He basically disappeared and none of us knew what had happened. And my sisters, you know, were busy raising children. I wasn't. And so I kind of volunteered to try to figure out what was going on. When we finally did connect with him, he said he had a new life and wanted nothing to do with any of us. So it was a bit of a gut punch, to say the least. So we had to figure out why. I mean, why would somebody do this? And it took a lot of searching. It was a years-long search. And Anthony was all in, and he said, let me help you in any way I can. And I just had to know the truth. And so a lot of these stories that are in this book are based on our search and our research. And we finally realized that there was no way to totally unwind this Gordian knot because he was a priest, as it turned out. We didn't know that.
Wow.
In the Catholic Church. He was also in a kind of exclusive society that was a kind of a private order of priests. And they're all sworn to secrecy. So it was just, we hit a brick wall and we said, okay, this needs to be a novel. Whatever we couldn't find, we just, based on the clues we had uncovered, decided to move forward with it.
Well, Anthony, a novel, it can be better in some ways as far as storytelling. And that's what brought you to the novel format.
Right. So that freed us to take the essence of his enigmatic character and also to, and some of the many fascinating things we could find about him, and then fictionalize the rest and go after the, try to capture the essence of his personality and his inner turmoil. But at the same time, to tell a very gripping story and have it to be a, you know, satisfying read.
And you've done this, you've structured this in such a way as it's very short chapters. There's how many, 60 some odd?
62.
62.
We wanted the pacing to be, you know, moving forward at a good clip. So we did structure it with short chapters intentionally.
You know, you have a background, both of you, in other forms of writing. Tell us about this experience coming together as a singular entity for a novel.
It actually started when we first met. We were musicians and songwriters. And so we started by writing songs together. So right off the bat, we were all writing partners kind of from day one. And then we moved up to Los Angeles. We wanted to write for television. And we wrote for Disney Animation and Hanna-Barbera and a number of other of companies there as a team, and enjoyed that very much. And then that continued to us writing and producing television movies for ABC and NBC. And we made independent films together where we wrote the scripts, we wrote the songs in the movies. Then that moved to live stage productions. We put on two live musicals in San Diego at the Birch North Park Theater, now the Observatory, that had Grammy Award winning musicians. We told, like, they were like live documentaries. One was called Primal Twang, The Legacy of the Guitar. The other was Love In, starring Ben Vereen. We filmed those, sold them to PBS, and they aired nationally and were a wonderful experience. And so then with this project, we thought, you know, we've always wanted to write a novel, and this particular story has so much scope. It spans 70 years, so it's a multi-generational family drama, and it takes place from three points of view and in multiple locations, the U.S., the East Coast, Ireland, Italy. So we finally, the canvas to tell this story was perfect for a novel. So we said, let's do it. So we used the same techniques of collaboration we've done from day one, outlined it, wrote it, and it's been a wonderful experience.
We're lucky because we like to work together.
Well, you say that with a laugh, but, you know, that can be a challenge. I don't know how you navigate two authors doing one work in a traditionally solitary form such as the novel.
Well, what we did was we structured the story because we had a lot of, you know, years of material and research trying to figure out my mother's past, my father's past, all of these things. And our own research going from here to there to, you know, interviewing people, et cetera. And then once we agreed on the structure, we basically split the work. Okay, you write the first half, I'll write the second half, vice versa. And then we would edit each other's work. And then we'd go back and rewrite it. Then we'd switch each other's work. He would rewrite the first half, I would rewrite the second half. So just by the time it was all done, you couldn't tell who had written what, because we basically just kept working it out until we were both 100% happy with the end result.
And at that stage, it was all us reading it out loud together so we could hear the dialogue and so forth. And we would then be rewriting as we spoke it out loud. And finally, we got it to the place that we felt we succeeded with it, we're happy with it. And it's been great working with Acorn Publishing. And so we're really happy to have it released, and we're happy that people seem to be responding to it.
Well, there are three perspectives in particular this story is told through. What are they?
Well, it starts, basically, the main character is Sophia, who is a young girl whose father has just disappeared. She comes from a broken family. Her parents have already had a lot of challenges in their life. Her mother has become pretty much a recluse because of her internal pain that nobody knew anything about. And so it's her point of view, basically following her story, trying to unravel the history that made her parents who they are. And then we dip into Ella, the mother's backstory, and we dip into Aiden, the father's backstory too, to try to make it all understandable from a perspective of those three characters.
And to weave those three points of view together into one coherent, unified story. A lot of that was aided by the fact that when Sophia and her mother go on the search for the father, when they join forces and reconcile with each other, that way the mother can show her own daughter where she met her father. And then that leads to the, based on a true story background of Ella, Christina's mother's family really was bombed in Palermo during the war. She really did come to Rome, which was then an open city. So for a while, protected from the Nazis.
But Sophia learns as the reader learns.
Her mother shares it with her in the actual location where she met and so forth. So it helped weave the story together coherently by having Sophia and the reader learn things at the same time.
And while this is a story primarily about the male character, the father, you bring out a lot about the mother here too. That's a very important part of this story.
Absolutely. She's a very important character. And I think her story is as significant in shaping Sophia's psyche as the father. The father is the catalyst. He's the thing that starts the layers of the onion to start unfolding. But as Sophia learns about both her parents, she then learns about herself at the same time and why the kinds of things that her mother did and the kinds of things that her father did and why they did it. And when she was growing up, it made no sense. She, of course, as a child, would take the side of one versus the other, which so many children do. But not knowing the whole picture made her kind of have blinders on and the reality of her own family's dysfunction.
We're talking with debut novelist from San Diego, Anthony and Christina Adams, under A.C. Adams, their nom de plume, and the work is called Chasing Shadows. They'll be doing a book signing and talk at Warwick's in La Jolla on May 11th. That's a Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. Tell us a little bit about this event that's coming up.
Well, we're looking forward to being able to meet with people. A lot of people are already reading the book now and wanting to come down and talk to us. And we're looking forward. Warwick's is our favorite bookstore. We grew up in San Diego. We go there all the time. So it's a fun meeting place to be able to debut the story locally. And we can't wait to go and talk to everybody that shows up there.
Before we close out this interview, though, you have agreed to share with us a little passage from Chasing Shadows. What have you chosen to share?
Well, we picked a passage from the chapter when Sophia discovers her father has left. Sophia turned on the car radio, and one of her favorite songs, Home at Last by Steely Dan, was playing. She sang along while driving down the winding road to her childhood home, and a wave of nostalgia washed over her when she arrived at the ranch and parked on the gravel path in front of the house. Most of Sophia's memories were from here, and they would always hold a singular place in her heart. Grabbing a sack of groceries, she walked to the porch, unlocked the door, and quietly entered. She stepped into the dark living room and then opened the drapes. Her stomach dropped as she gaped at the empty room in disbelief. All the furniture had vanished. Had the workers robbed them? She hurried into the kitchen, put her bag on the table, and looked around. All the counters were bare. No butcher block, knife set, no toaster, no coffee machine, no recipe books. The drawers and cabinets were empty, with no silverware or plates. And the refrigerator, which was normally bursting at the seams with a variety of food and drinks, had been cleared out. A shiver ran down her spine. "Dad," she called and rushed down the hallway. She threw open his bedroom door and stared at the barren room. There was no furniture, no clothes in the closet, nothing. Fear gripped her. "Hello, Dad?" Her voice echoed in the empty house as she searched the rest of the rooms. Unrelenting panic seized her, and when she realized her father was nowhere to be found. Stripped of all personal belongings, the property seemed strangely unfamiliar, as if their lives and memories had been scrubbed from the premises. She trembled, and tears streamed down her face. Sophia hurried outside and saw the porch swing rocking eerily back and forth in the wind, as if the ghost of Aiden was haunting his favorite spot. "Dad, where are you?" she whispered to herself. Frantically running to the barn, her heart pounding, hardly able to believe what was happening, she unlocked the door and stepped inside. The empty barn, which used to be one of her most cherished places, seemed cold and lifeless. She felt trapped in a living nightmare. Through her tears, she saw the duffel bag inside Gaia's stall. She slid open the zipper and discovered it was stuffed with numerous rolls of crisp $100 bills. Sophia looked up and spotted an envelope with her name on it in Aiden's handwriting, pinned to the back wall of Gaia's stall. She took it down and read the note silently, her hands shaking. "Dearest Sophia, I knew you would come to see Gaia and wanted to make sure you found this note. I'm sorry my disappearance was so sudden, but was unavoidable. Unfortunately, I can't explain why I left in a way you would understand. All my personal and business affairs are in order, and your horse is being taken care of at Hilltop Stables. The cash in the duffel bag should tide you over for a few years until you establish your career. Please forgive me for any sorrow this may cause you. My actions are irreversible, so don't try to find me. I have a new life now and must never see you again. Hopefully you will learn to be at peace with my decision. I will always love you, and although she won't believe it, I love your mother too. Tell her I regret all the bitterness between us. Your ever well-wisher, Dad." Sophia's mind reeled, and her legs could no longer hold her upright. Overcome by nausea, she collapsed on the ground and vomited. Racked with chills and vertigo, she tried to get up, but everything went black and she passed out.
An excerpt from Chasing Shadows, just released by Acorn Publishing, from San Diego-based authors Anthony Lee and Christina Adams, writing under the nom de plume together of A.C. Adams. Before we go here, are there any thoughts about a sequel to Chasing Shadows?
Yes, there are. Without giving away any spoilers, the book does end with a bit of a cliffhanger, and we have envisioned a sequel.
And there are more real-life events that we didn't put in the first story. And so we realize there's room to really fill this out and have an exceptionally exciting sequel.
Well, congratulations to you both for Chasing Shadows. And you will have a book signing and talk on Sunday, May 11th at Warwick's Books in La Jolla. We look forward to seeing you there and again on Inside Art.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Chasing Shadows, the debut novel by San Diego authors A.C. Adams, has just been released by Acorn Publishing and is available through Amazon and booksellers throughout San Diego. A.C. Adams will be holding a book talk and signing as part of Warwick's Weekends with Locals, Sunday, May 11th from 1 to 3 p.m. at Warwick's Books in La Jolla. More information about this event is at warwicks.com. Inside Art is made possible with support from the members of Jazz 88.3. Replays and extended versions of every Inside Art broadcast are available online at jazz88.org/InsideArt. Our theme is created and performed by Bill Mays, whose music is available at billmays.net. Again, my thanks to Anthony Lee and Christina Adams and Gina Saputo. For Jazz 88.3, I'm Dave Drexler. Join me again on air and online for another edition of Inside Art. Breaking Jazz is next.